So do you remember a television show starring Carl Sagan? Cosmos. You remember this? Now, what's fascinating to me is that I remember this as a child, but now Neil deGrasse Tyson, one of the premier scientists within our nation and one of the people who tries to bring science to life in a beautiful way, has begun to remake this classic. And he takes a look at scientific experiences and understandings in a new way. Carl Sagan always sought to bring the out there closer to us. And Neil deGrasse Tyson continues in that. One of the things that I find fascinating is that by looking out into the heavens, these two scientists invite us to see that what is out there is also inside of us. That the things that make the stars, that construct the heavens up there, the planets, the asteroids, all of that stuff exists in us as well. Today, within our scripture, Cindy read a word, and she said the word world. That actually is the word cosmos in Greek. That cosmos, that thing that when we think about is always out there. Maybe it's when you sit there and look up into the night sky and see the moon and the stars, and you say, I'm looking out into the cosmos. For the people of John's community, this community that put together the book of the Gospel of John, as well as these books of 1 John, these stories and sermons here, it was seen to be that place, that realm of unbelief. That is what is meant by the term world in this gospel and also in the book that we're looking at right now. They didn't have this context of cultural kind of understandings. That's not a way that they understood things. What they saw was what was beyond them. And this was a way of understanding something that was larger than them, the cosmos. It also gave them an understanding because they saw themselves as a community that had been cast out. Last week I mentioned this, that there are a couple of ways to form community. One is by gathering people together. And sadly, there's another way of forming community, and that is by casting certain people out. And that is how this community of John, the Johannine community, was formed. They were part of the local synagogues, part of the local churches in the Jewish faith, back in these times after Jesus, life, death, and resurrection. And they were telling the stories of Jesus, and they were sharing how meaningful they were. And they said that they wanted to be followers of Jesus, and they were sharing these things. And because of what they were sharing, they were cast out of the synagogue, put out, and shared that they did not have a place within the church. And so, whenever you read the Gospel of John, you can recognize how important community is, the fact that they can come together. In all the stories that they talk about, you'll see that in those stories, those that are sitting on the outside, Jesus is always reaching out and pulling them in and saying, you can't cast people aside. It doesn't matter if you are sick, a beggar, a woman, a believer of a different kind of faith or of understanding, Jesus is always pulling you in and reminding each and every person that they have a place. And this continues today in our text. by reminding us that we are all children of God. Now that's beautiful. I mean, that's great. I really love that. I mean, the fact that we can just look at it and say, everybody is a child of God, and we should love every single person. If you can do that, raise your hand. Come on. Anybody? I mean, we're in a church. If there should be a place that we can start, that we can look out there and say that we recognize the Imago Dei, the face of God in every single person that we meet, it should be able to have this conversation in this place. But the recognition is that that existence, that understanding, is difficult to live out. And in fact, when you look at the scripture that we're looking at today, you can see the contradictions, you can see the inner turmoil that's going on with the writer just in this place. The writer talks about how it is that this community is supposed to be one of love, of family, of holding together, that everybody has a place and everybody has value. And in the midst of that, he says then, you know, because those people that aren't part of this community, they don't know Jesus because they sin. Now, let me just unpack that for just 1 second about when he talks about sin, what it is that he means. Because the writer comes from this Johannine community, and for them, the essence of sin is this: it is broken relationship. Okay? To boil it down to the very simplest understanding, sin is an expression of any time you break relationship with someone, something, or with God. When we seek to do that, put up roadblocks, when we seek to harm another person, when we even seek to harm creation, that is seen to them as sin. So, when they say that sin is breaking the law, this understanding of connection to the Almighty, then they say that if you break that relationship, is you don't know God. Now, I know everybody reads not just the text that I give on Sunday morning, but reads before and after each and every week. I know that happens, so I remember. Just remind you, last week, when I preached on the first chapter of the first John, that right after that, it talks about everyone experiences and commits sin. There is no one, the writer says, that is without sin. And now here we are, just 2 chapters later, the writer says, but if you have sinned, you don't know God, and you're not a part of us. I was utterly confused. Because I've never spoken out of both sides of my mouth before, and I've never said one thing, but then another, and then never, you know. This is difficult stuff. Trying to understand how it is that we exist in the midst of community, how we exist in the world, by also understanding that we do things that break relationship each and every day. This realm of unbelief, this cosmos that exists in the world that we sometimes see is out there, this chaos that is out there, we're part of it. And it exists in us as well. The anger, the confusion, the love, the questions, the seeking of answers, all of that exists in this beautiful, wonderful, but confusing chaos that is life. And because of that, we see that relationship is harmed each and every day within ourselves, within our communities, and within our world. It's hard. We recognize that our world right now is divided in so many different ways, so many different lines. Sometimes those lines are drawn out by other people. Sometimes they're lines that we create ourselves. And sometimes they're lines that are put up by friends and family, people close to us. One of the things that we recognize is that we exist in the midst of, even within the state of Kentucky, a division. And this week, I wanted to know a little bit more about it. And so I went to visit one of our members, Ben Pope. Ben is a retired minister, but he served for years in the Christian Church Disciples of Christ in Kentucky as the minister for CAM, which is Kentucky Appalachian Ministries. And one of the biggest divides that I experienced as a minister was when I was in youth ministry in Lexington, and I would take a group of high school students, and we would drive across the country to Fleming Neon, Kentucky. And let me tell you, you just have to drive less than 2 hours to be in what is seen as a different part of the country. Crossing over the Appalachian Mountains and into that space showed a division. When we arrived, immediately the kids looked around and it did not look anything like Lexington, Kentucky. The physical features were different. The people looked and sounded a little different. The way that they acted was different. And the people that we met looked at us, saw us as we rolled up in that big church bus and saw these teenagers fall out. The way they spoke, the way they dressed, the way they acted looked different to them as well. Same state, and yet still divided. Ben talked about what was important to him and about how it was that he was able to go into these places and spend time with folks who were different, but also were the same. I appreciate these things that he shared with me. And just think about these. The first thing that he said was, he tried to always be authentic, to be himself as he entered into these spaces. He sought to find connections to the people that he talked with, that he spent time with. He also brought partners along with him, people that were from the region that would meet with him and guide him and show him where to go so that it wouldn't just be in churches, but it also might be in local establishments that he could go to. That neutral ground, some place that the people of the area knew and it meant something to them. And finally, and this meant so much to me when Ben shared this, he said, I always felt like my calling was just to show up, to be present. Isn't that sometimes the most difficult piece? When we recognize that there is division, when we recognize that there is separation, there are always those that are pushing us to the edges. We find that that chaos, that cosmos of the middle space, where we can come together and just show up as ourselves, is a place where God begins to work. Right before the pandemic hit, Cindy and I were honored to be a part of something through Lexington Theological Seminary called Preaching in the Purple. You may have remembered we did this, it seemed like a lifetime ago. But it was important to recognize that people that might have different views, different understandings, could come together and find common ground, that could understand and find unity in a place that we could recognize where God was working in all of us, where we could see the gifts of God in each and every face. It's not easy, but it is so important. Because here's the thing. Our scripture reminds us this morning that we are all children of God. That means that each and every face in humanity looks like God in some way. Let that sink in for just a second. What does that mean? It means that this is tough. It means that this work that we are called to is not easy, but it is essential. Struggling together to bind together communities that have been torn apart or ones that are being pushed apart. To find common places that we can speak together. Finding unity, finding a polar star like Jesus who calls us together in places of love and compassion, mercy and grace. For the reality is that none of us are ones that have ever not put up barriers, not tried to break relationship with others. And so it is only through Jesus that we can come together and recognize that we have a place. Anne Lamott, who is a writer who comes out of much pain in her own life, reminds us that it is through that pain that we go through, the challenges that we go through, that we bring our gifts, that we bring our bruised and battered selves to a place where we can find meaning and where we can find a place where we are loved. My prayer for us this week as we move forward is that we continue to just be who we are, open and honest, vulnerable and humble, seeking connections to those who sit beside us and who stand on the other side of the divide. That we seek to find that neutral ground, that place where we can come together and seek to find creation, connection through relationship in daily ways. I am grateful for Carl Sagan and Neil deGrasse Tyson trying to explain the cosmos in a way that I can understand. And I'm grateful for each of you and for the voices of the biblical narrative that share ways of moving forward so that we might find space that we can come together and move forward into this world that God has invited us into. May we go together.
Thank you for listening to the White Oak Pond Christian Church podcast. We hope that it's been a blessing to you this day. White Oak Pond seeks to be a place where we accept one person at a time to Christ's never-ending and forgiving love. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast so that you can receive sermons each and every week. And also rate us. It really helps. Thank you again, and may you know joy in powerful ways this week.